Good afternoon, 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
I am the only transportation secretary in history that's cared enough about this issue to push it to this point, and I will be the only transportation secretary in history that's cared about it enough to push it to this point.
Kentucky Department of Highways Chief Mike Hancock is upset about challenges to the cabinet's new regulations on highway billboards.
A woman is dead following a shooting in Wolf County.
And fire guts a home in Jeffersonville early this morning.
In sports, it's the Bears and Chargers in Monday Night Football.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy this evening with showers likely. Lows will be in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Campton man is in custody on felony assault charges after a series of shootings today in Wolf County. Kentucky State Police say 26-year-old Preston Wilson turned himself in Hazard this morning. Trooper Joe Veneman says the incident began late last night.
Now, we were contacted a little bit after midnight this morning in reference to a shooting there in Wolf County off of Hosscat Lane. I guess one of the victims who had been shot was able to leave the scene, and he was actually the one that called 911. And just throughout the course of the investigation, we were able to determine that there were a total of three people that had been shot. Two were wounded, and one was mortally wounded.
The person killed has been identified as 54-year-old Brenda Hatton of Campton. Those wounded include a father and son, 52-year-old David L. Spencer and 32-year-old David M. Spencer. The father was said to be in surgery this afternoon at UK Medical Center in Lexington. There's no word on the condition of the son. The KSP is still investigating the circumstances surrounding the shootings. Further charges could be filed.
A 34-year-old man was arraigned today on charges that he murdered a Richmond police officer. Raleigh Sizemore was arraigned by video conference from the Kentucky State Reformatory, where he is being held on $2.5 million bond in the shooting last week of Officer Daniel Ellis. The killing took place during a robbery investigation. Three other persons are also charged in the case. Mark Robbins is the Madison County attorney.
I can't recall in my years of prosecuting a more difficult circumstances. In light of those circumstances, we'll have to continue to do what the Commonwealth needs to do, which of course is to fully prosecute all these defendants.
Robin says Raleigh Sizemore is also charged with attempted murder, unlawful imprisonment, and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon.
Fire early this morning destroyed a house in Jeffersonville. Montgomery County fire officials say the blaze broke out around 3 o'clock at a residence on Forest Lake Drive. No injuries have been reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation.
Two persons are lodged in the Greenup County Detention Center following a high-speed chase involving police in nearly a dozen counties. According to WSAZ, 27-year-old Christopher Lavelle of Los Angeles and 31-year-old Julia Essman of Woodbridge, Virginia, face a multitude of charges. They include fleeing police, resisting arrest, and wanton endangerment. Police say the pursuit began in Frankfort and ended when the couple's car crashed in Wortland early Sunday. Lavelle and Essman are both arraigned Monday in Greenup County District Court.
The Rowan Fiscal Court will get together Tuesday to select a bid for the job of clearing the site where the county's new jail will eventually be constructed. Officials have been accepting bids for the project over the last several weeks. Judge Executive Walter Blevins thinks the price tag for the site prep work could cost the county anywhere from $200,000 to $250,000. However, he says that amount could drop if the company picked to handle the effort is able to salvage and resell some of the metal and wooden timbers from the old Eastern Kentucky Tobacco Warehouse building that will be torn down.
I think they could. I mean, that's why we're bidding it, is hopefully they've looked at what they can do and how much hopefully they'll come up with the best, you know, a lower bid than just the demolition of it. They can actually hopefully make the bid lower because there are some materials in there that could be salvaged.
Blevins expects the effort to get the land cleared for Rowan's new jail to take about a month. The facility will be located just outside of Moorhead on U.S. 60 East.
Senate President Robert Stivers says voters sent a loud and focused message in last week's election. The Manchester Republican says two things were apparent.
I think it was a very clear repudiation of the National Democrat agenda. I also think it was a repudiation of very harsh negative attacks. If you look at the most successful Democrat candidacy in this last cycle, it was of Alison Grimes.
Stivers says the Democrat and Secretary of State was reelected because she didn't wage a negative campaign and talked about why she wanted to keep her job.
The chairman of the Rowan County Democratic Party says it's very important for Democrats to field a strong candidate for the 27th District State Senate seat next year. However, James LeMaster says that's not all. He says besides challenging Republican incumbent Steve West in 2016, Democrats need an excellent slate of contenders for all the posts in the General Assembly.
We will have to have very strong candidates. Even we'll have to really get behind incumbents, because that's what the Republicans are shooting for the House. They want to take over the House.
Democrats hold a 54-46 edge in the Kentucky House of Representatives.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says House Democrats are prepared to work with Republican Matt Bevin when Bevin becomes Kentucky's next governor in December. Adkins is a Democrat from Moorhead who is also House Majority Leader.
I look forward to working with him. I congratulate him. The election is over. The people of Kentucky have spoken, and Matt Bevin is going to be our next governor. I think the people of my legislative district throughout Kentucky, they want us to work together. I think they want to see us pass legislative initiatives that are going to improve our communities across Kentucky. I think the general public is tired of the bickering back and forth.
Adkins says there will be differences of opinion between the new governor and the Democrats in the General Assembly, but that's how the process is supposed to work.
Kentucky House Natural Resources and Environment Committee Chairman Jim Gooch says the state is facing some huge regulatory challenges from the federal government. The Democrat says it's important for state lawmakers to partner with incoming Republican Governor Matt Bevin on strategies to safeguard Kentucky's economy.
The jurisdiction that this committee usually is over as far as the environment and energy issues and that sort of thing probably is facing the biggest changes that this committee has ever seen from Washington.
Gooch spoke Thursday at a committee hearing in Frankfort.
Mack Brown has been named the next chairman of the Republican Party of Kentucky. Brown is vice president of Louisville-based Brown Forman Corporation. He replaces Steve Robertson, who announced his resignation earlier this year. Brown is also the chairman of Governor-elect Matt Bevin's transition team.
The head of Shaping Our Appalachian Region says the initiative is focused right now on the work to expand broadband in the eastern part of the Commonwealth. Executive Director Jared Arnett notes the statewide effort, known as Kentucky Wired, kicked off in late August. He says it's vital those in Appalachian Kentucky take full advantage as they look to rebuild the area's economy.
That brings tremendous opportunity to our region, so we're working to develop programs and communications to make sure to assist communities to understand what does this mean from an economic opportunity standpoint, that we're going to have this new infrastructure and this high-speed, high-capacity broadband to every county seat in Kentucky, and to come up with strategies on how we leverage that.
Arnett says SOAR officials are working with the State Office of Broadband to put together pilot programs and are assisting communities to apply for grants so they can do more to infuse broadband into their areas.
Gas prices in Kentucky are down about 10 cents from a month ago, and many communities in northeast Kentucky have lower costs than the statewide average. According to the website KentuckyGasPrices.com, the average price for regular unleaded fuel in the Commonwealth today is $2.21. Around the region, it's $2.09 in Ashland, $2.09 in Flemingsburg, and $2.15 in Moorhead. The lowest prices in Kentucky today are in Russellville and Elkton, where it's $1.81. The highest is in Jeffersonville. It's $2.79 there.
The director of Scenic Kentucky is calling on the state legislature to block new administrative regulations on highway billboards from the state transportation cabinet. Paul Bergman is especially concerned about rules that allow use of brighter LED light fixtures on those signs.
They're dangerous. You get their attention, you hold it for 6 or 8 seconds, you've got to read the article, and then you go away, and by that time you might have had an accident. Well, I've heard from two people at least that came darn close to having a serious accident because of LED billboards.
Bergman also says he's offended by new regulations that permit pruning of trees and other vegetation near billboards.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's chief legal counsel says the Commonwealth has tried to ban LED lighting on billboards, but courts have sided with the advertising industry. Rebecca Goodman says appeals courts have twice ruled against the cabinet in LED cases. She says the regulations on billboards the Highway Department has developed over the past 3 years should reduce the total number of signs along the highways.
In order to put up one LED board, you have to surrender six static boards that are already in existence, so that will overall reduce the number of billboards. Now, in order to put up an LED after you've surrendered these six, you have to put it in a place that has affirmatively expressed a desire to allow those boards.
Goodman says that allows for local control over the signs. As for pruning, she says, the new regulations require advertisers to submit a plan from a certified arborist that details work to be done. She says the cabinet has the right to reject such plans.
A nonprofit organization in Moorhead is participating in a statewide fundraising challenge that begins later this week. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The local Blessing Hands organization will be part of the Good Giving Challenge that begins Friday in Kentucky. 100 nonprofits across the Commonwealth are raising money for their respective causes, with the charity generating the most contributions, winning $5,000 from the Bluegrass Community Foundation. Betty Cutts is the president and founder of Blessing Hands.
It's a wonderful stimulus. I was talking to a Montessori school, and they had raised $49,000 last year through this campaign.
This is the first year Blessing Hands will participate in the Good Giving Challenge. Cutts says the organization hopes to raise $13,000 to give 24 computers to a special education school in China. The fundraising campaign begins November 13th and runs through the rest of the year. Donations can be made online at blessinghands.org. For MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Through October 23rd, Kentucky's Farms to Food Banks program has enabled the distribution of 2.4 million pounds of produce to needy families in every county in the Commonwealth. The figure is from Tamara Sandberg, who is director of the Kentucky Association of Food Banks. She says the effort was made possible by a $600,000 appropriation by the state legislature.
We pay farmers just below wholesale prices for the produce they can't sell otherwise, and we provide them a new market for their ugly produce, the number two grade stuff, and deliver it in all 120 counties in Kentucky.
Sandberg says about 300 Kentucky farmers are now participating in the Farms to Food Banks initiative. Now taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For tonight, there's an 80% chance of showers late. Lows will be around 45 degrees. On Tuesday, partly sunny with highs around 58. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with areas of fog, lows near 35 degrees. On Veterans Day, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Wednesday night, there's an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Lows will be in the lower 50s. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, highs around 60 degrees. It is currently 58 degrees in Ashland, 57 in Flemingsburg, 55 degrees in Inez and Lexington, 57 degrees in Winchester, and right here in Moorhead, it is currently 60 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, friends, family, co-workers, and students gathered at the MSU farm last Thursday to posthumously honor a former farm manager and dedicate a new student facility, Lundergan Hall. MSPR's Samantha Morrill has that story.
Edward Eddie Lundergan began working at the MSU farm in 1979 after graduating from his alma mater with a bachelor's degree in animal science. He began his tenure there as equine breeding coordinator and manager of the horse barn. In 1982, he became farm manager, a position he held until his 2006 retirement. MSU President Wayne Andrews says the Derrickson Agricultural Complex has benefited greatly from Lundergan's years of service and care.
Eddie Lundergan was associated with our university for almost 25 years. He contributed his whole life to this place. He helped this farm become the ag sciences place that it is.
But it wasn't just his dedication to the farm and its facilities that earned Lundergan the recognition. Kentucky's Secretary of State, Allison Lundergan Grimes, was there with the rest of the Lundergan family. She says Eddie was a farmer and a teacher, as well as being mentor and friend to those whose paths crossed with his.
Eddie had an impact on every person that he was able to be a part of their lives, whether it was instruction here at Morehead State, whether it was his own family. And he continues to inspire so many. The residence hall that we see here will help to shape the lives of so many students who have committed their life to making sure that the agriculture community continues to grow, not just in Kentucky, but nationally.
And grow it will. Lundergan Hall and another residence hall to be opened next summer will house 48 agriculture and veterinary students. Academic Affairs Liaison Dr. Gerald DeMoss was a friend of Lundergan's. He says Eddie would have loved to see students in Lundergan Hall.
Oh, he'd be tickled pink. He'd be tickled pink because he always wanted better housing for the students, always wanted better housing. So he would be just thrilled. He would have lived. And it's just a shame that actually, we had hoped that this would be built before he passed away and that he would have had the opportunity to see it, but he wasn't. He passed a little sooner than we expected him to pass.
Although he wasn't there to see it himself, members of Lundergan's immediate family were there to take part in the dedication. His widow, Kim, says Lundergan Hall will serve as a reminder of his many years of service.
It's just such an honor, and I'm just so pleased that his legacy will live on, and that people will know how much he loved this place and how much it meant to him to be the manager here. It was truly his life, and loved every minute of it.
The new residence hall is situated neatly on the 325-acre ag complex. It's comprised of 4 6-person apartment-like suites, complete with full appliances and Wi-Fi. Paige Scheiderer is a senior living in Lundergan Hall. She says living right there on the farm is important to her duties and studies.
We do our day-to-day work, but we also we check calves in the middle of the night, 8, 12, and 4. There'll be times where we have to, you know, go to work when it's not actually 8 to 5. You know, there's the animals, if there's something wrong, we got to go fix it. If the cows get out, we got to go get them. So being right here, you know, we can see if something's wrong. We are right there to, you know, jump up and go help if we need to. So that really helps.
With the new residence hall at Derrickson Agricultural Complex, Eddie Lundergan's influence will continue to be felt for many years to come. For MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:48, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
West Coast football. For MSPR, I'm Jared Wesley reporting. Two struggling teams meet in Monday Night Football. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the coverage.
The Chicago Bears and San Diego Chargers only have 2 wins apiece this season. For the Bears, it's been a series of near misses, who have suffered back-to-back 3-point losses to the Lions and Vikings. Rookie Jeremy Langford will take over as the feature back for Chicago, with Matt Forte out with a knee injury. 5 of the Chargers' losses have come by less than 10 points. They'll be without star receiver Keenan Allen, who is sidelined for the year with a lacerated kidney. Game time tonight at Qualcomm Stadium is at 8:30. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin, reporting.
Denver Broncos star corner Aqib Talib was suspended 1 game without pay for poking Indianapolis
tight end Dwayne Allen in his right eye in the waning minutes of Denver's 27-24 loss to the Colts on Sunday. Tlaib said afterward he didn't intend to poke Allen, but was only trying to shove him away from Von Miller. Tlaib can appeal within 3 days. The Pro Bowl corner, rather, has a troubled past, including a 4-game suspension in 2012 for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances. The Morehead State football team is licking its wounds after missing a chance to take over first place in the PFL. Saturday's 20-15 loss to conference-leading Dayton at home dropped MSU to 4-2 in conference and likely killed its shot at winning the title. 3 turnovers and 2 blocked extra points proved crucial in the loss by senior wide receiver Tanner Napier and the Eagles.
It's just a tough loss. It's tough to go out like that, you know. We're out here on senior day, got a chance to win the conference and lose by 5 points. And, you know, our thoughts, we think we beat ourselves, you know. We think we're still the better team than them. But, you know, that's how things go sometimes.
Napier had 10 receptions for 137 yards and a touchdown Saturday against Dayton. At 5-4 overall, the Eagles traveled to Valparaiso for a league game Saturday. In the wake of Saturday's 27-3 loss at Georgia, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says his Wildcats need to man up and move forward. It was another tough day for junior quarterback Patrick Toles, who completed just 8 of 21 passes for only 96 yards. He was also intercepted twice. Coach Mark Stoops admits he's considering making a change at that position.
You do got to look at some options. Yeah, you do. You have to, in fairness to our team. I think you have to look at everybody, and I always say that about all positions. You've seen us change the depth chart at a lot of positions, you know, all the way through the season on who's playing well. And I think it's fair to say that we have to look at the quarterback position, yeah.
Backup Drew Barker could replace Toles when the 4-5 Cats visit Vandy on Saturday. The latest on the protests and turmoil over racially charged incidents at the University of Missouri. A group that led the push to oust the University of Missouri system's president says it wants a say in choosing his replacement and wants the percentage of black faculty doubled, among other things. Members of concerned students said today, after President Tim Wolf announced his resignation, that they want meet with the university's governing board, the faculty council, and Governor Jay Nixon to discuss their demands in detail. The Rowan County football team season came to an end over the weekend. Rowan was defeated at the hands of Scott, 33-26, in the first round of the Class 4A playoffs. It was certainly a season of ups and downs for the Vikings, and head coach Ray Graham says the loss was tough, especially due to the fact that his guys led the majority of the ballgame.
Tough is a good word. It was extremely difficult to look up the scoreboard for most of the night with us winning. And then in 45 seconds, you know, see the change to the lead for them for the first time. Very pleased to take a 4-seed from Eastern Kentucky to Northern Kentucky's 1-seed with your kids believing that they're going to win the game.
Scott now moves on to the second round where they will face Ashland Blazer. Senior guard Brent Arrington says he's taken on the role of being one of the leaders this season for the Morehead State Basketball Eagles. According to Arrington, with this being his final year at MSU, he wants to go out with a bang.
To me, this is my senior year, and I look at it as if we cannot lose this year. You know, I've played in a championship for my conference before I came here, and this is definitely the way I want to go out. I know how it feels. I preach to the guys about how it feels. I wear my ring around every day, and I just want everybody to have the same taste in their mouth at the end of the season, like we champions, you know. So I'm definitely trying to push that on to everybody this year.
A preseason second team All-OVC pick, Arrington led the Eagles with 20 points in their recent exhibition win over Asbury. MSU opens the season Friday night at home against Cincinnati Christian. After a Saturday win over third-place Eastern Illinois, the Morehead State volleyball team is getting ready for its final home match of the year. At 7-7 in the OVC, the Eagles will entertain Eastern Kentucky Tuesday evening at 7. Freshman outside hitter Meredith Jewell says MSU will be ready.
Lost 3 or 4 players already, and so we're used to this. We're used to adversity. We're used to people being out. And so I think Allie stepped right in to that role, took it on very, very well, and we've obviously improved a lot if we can beat a top 5 team in the conference.
The MSU women were swept in three sets by the Colonels on September 30th in Richmond. Finally, this evening in sports, Jimmy Johnson took home first prize at the Texas Motor Speedway over the weekend. Brad Keselowski was leading with just a few laps to go, and then Johnson made his move.
I just kept trying to put pressure on him, hoping for a mistake, and he got real loose off of turn two, and I had a big run down the back stretch and drove it in really far into turn three, hoping to hear clear, and once I did, I knew I was home free.
Keselowski finished second in the race. That will do it for Sports Tonight. Reporting for More Ed State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for their final home match of the season. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks opened lower and soon proceeded to extend losses, with the Dow Jones Industrials falling as much as 242.55 points at its session low before pairing gains slightly ahead of the close. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 179.85 at 17,730.48. The S&P 500 was down 20.62 at 2,078.58, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 51.82 at 5,095.3. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Among Dow Jones Industrial stocks, IBM was the worst performer. Benchmark U.S. 10-year Treasury yields held steady at 2.35%, while two-year yields traded at 0.89%. And, of course, many market watchers and analysts are expecting the Federal Reserve to raise the Fed funds rate from 0 to 0.25% next month. U.S. oil settled down 42 cents at $43.87 a barrel. In Europe, equities closed lower on weak Chinese export data. And in Asia, equities in China and Japan actually rose to their highest levels in over 2 months. In corporate news, Plum Creek Timber, Dish Network, and Hertz Global reported earnings before the bell, while Sun Edison, Lionsgate, and Rackspace are all due out after the bell. L Brands was downgraded to neutral today from overweight at J.P. Morgan, based in part on an unfavorable apparel industry trend the company sees going forward. And in the gold markets today, gold was up 40 cents an ounce to finish at $1,088.10 an ounce, still below the critical $1,100 per ounce level that many gold watchers are looking for. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 19 cents at 111.81, AEP up 48 cents at 54.44, AK Steel down 9 cents at 268, Marathon Petroleum down $1.65 at 54.32, CSX up 71 cents at 27.78, and Anthem was down 12 cents to finish at 133.86. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Department of Music, Theater, and Dance, presenting Clybourne Park in the Lucille Cottle Little Theater in Breckenridge Hall at Morehead State University. Winner of a 2011 Pulitzer Prize and 2012 Tony Award, the play follows the struggles of an African-American family during the span of 50 years. 7:30 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, November 17th through the 21st, and 2 p.m. on Sunday, November 22nd. Reservations from the MSU Music Theater and Dance box office weekdays noon to 5 p.m. or by calling 783-2170.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area for tonight, there's an 80% chance of showers late, lows around 45 degrees. On Tuesday, partly sunny with highs near 58. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with areas of fog possible, lows around 35 degrees. On Veterans Day, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Wednesday night, an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows in the lower 50s. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a 30% chance of showers, highs around 60 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear, lows around 40 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with highs in the lower 50s. It is currently 60 degrees in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.